Calling all nerds. This is More Than Dice, the podcast where we dive deep into the realms of everything nerdy. Whether you're a nerd culture connoisseur, a tabletop titan, a miniature gaming marveler, or just someone who proudly embraces their inner geek, this is the podcast for you. And now here's your hosts, Gonzo, John, and Nerd. Oh, and sometimes Mizzy.
Welcome to a special report of More Than Dice. As you know, that we've been kind of up and kind of, you know, posting about our little fight that we had this week. If you don't know what fight we're talking about, you should check out our Shatterpoint pictures that we've been posting and talking about. Because the last 2 weeks, we've been building our squads, forces, strike teams, and decided to play the game our first time. The reason, and of course I'm joined by Captain Mizzy because, you know, she was there. But we decided that we would try it out. So at Adepticon, we received two starter squads, or two squads. I got a Mace Windu, or I got a Sith, and I got the Darth Vader box, and we traded off a set of box. And Captain Mizzy got the Kuplun box. And so we decided, hey, all we need is one more box and we could play the game. And so I picked up the Sith Inquisitors, of course, to go with Darth Vader. Because, you know, why not? I mean, if I'm going to go Sith, I'm going to go Sith all the way.
Because Gonzo's the bad guy.
I'm always the bad guy. And then Captain Mizzy, what'd you go with?
I went with Mace Windu.
Yeah, and so we were like, we've got these two forces. Let's, you know, figure out how the game works, work around it, you know, just go for it. So when we got back from Adepticon, we put together the models and spent time painting this stuff up. And we posted the progress on our Facebook page, and you can see it. And I had no terrain. So, of course, with a 3D printer, I decided I'll just print terrain off. And so the few weeks that we were doing this, you know, I was trying to figure out what we needed to play, you know, tokens. I was like, well, we can write stuff on paper, you know, just for, you know, shiggles and not have to buy stuff. But then I went online and somebody had the terrain from the core box. Now, if you don't know, the core box has a ton of miniatures, like 15 or so miniatures in it. A set of terrain, all the tokens, Shatterpoint cards, the struggle tracker, all this other stuff. Really good. But it was $165. And I just couldn't justify $165 for, you know, the box set. When all we needed was terrain.
Well, you know, we just came back from Adepticon, so we were balling on a budget.
Yeah, we were definitely...
That's a thing.
Definitely very low on the funds. Because we just got back from Adepticon. And then I found somebody that was selling the the terrain from the box for like $30. So I was like, okay, I can grab that. So I grabbed that, got that in, put it together. And then we started researching what Shatterpoint is and how to play. For people that don't know, Star Wars Shatterpoint is made by Atomic Mass Games. Shout out to Atomic Mass Games for this. We appreciate it. They're not sponsoring anything. Just, hey. We have some words about the game and stuff, and we just want to say hey. We started reading the rules, and we found out that we needed a Shatterpoint card. But we were like, hey, why don't we just take one of our cards that we're not going to use from, you know, one of our sets and use that as a Shatterpoint card. So we could just, you know, we were like, okay, we could do that.
Improvise.
We needed the dice and the movement widgets and... you know, that stuff, which is okay. The dice I got for like $8, and then I got the movement things for like 14. So now we're, you know, we're like $50-$60 in. So no big deal. I was able to pick up our extra squads from the local game store, which is good because, you know us, we like to support our locals. And so we were like, oh, crap, we don't have a struggle tracker. We don't have all the tokens. So I was like, okay, I can print stuff up. And because I couldn't dump $300 into this game. Just, you know, Adepticon kind of broke me. and some of us are poor.
Yes.
But
recently, not that I'm poor, I just have responsibilities.
Yes. We have responsibilities, so we can't just, you know, throw out $165, $300 eventually on testing the game out, especially if we're not going to like it.
Or if we don't know that we're going to like it.
Yeah. And so Amazon, for people that know, I don't know if they're dumping all their stuff or what, but the core box is going for less than $95. And I was like, I really can't pass that up. That's almost, you know,
that's a good deal.
It's $70 cheaper. That's a really good deal, because I mean, you're getting another set of terrain, you're getting all the miniatures and everything that we needed. We got, you know, another set of measuring widgets for Mizzy, set of measuring, you know, another set of dice, which you need a second set of dice if you don't know. Yes. Don't have to, but it makes it a whole lot easier. The struggle tracker, even though I printed one, so I chunked that. And then, you know, all the tokens, all the mission cards, because we didn't have any of that either. Although we could have, you know, finagled around it and just, you know, seen enough pictures that we could have made our own. So I got that. So now we're like 300 in now. Anyway.
But it's still cheaper.
It was still cheaper. We did.
Still a good deal.
Still, if you're looking to get into it, go check out Amazon. They're selling the core box very, very cheap. And it's got tons of miniatures in it and the terrain, which was the kind of the big deal for me. Because I did 3D print some terrain, but of course, it's not going to be as cool as the one that comes in the box. So we had two sets of terrain from the core box. I didn't use any miniatures from the core box because I like Vader, Stormtroopers, and the Sith Inquisition. Mizzy didn't use anything from the core box either, even though she does like some of the miniatures or some of the characters in that.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that a little bit later, because we're gonna do a battle talk after we talk about the game, and we're gonna talk about what we're gonna change after that. But so we started looking at the rules. And there's a lot of comboing in this game that I wasn't aware of or prepared for until I started looking at it. And then I started going, oh, this is pretty cool. So the game's only played on a 3x3, so action happens pretty quickly, but it happens even quicker than I thought. Because when you draw a card and it has the icon saying something happens, usually that means another unit is doing something also, either moving or shooting or whatever. So things move, units move really, really fast in this game. Especially if you get the right little combo to go off, which we noticed. But then there's also a lot of combos that were like, you know, something happens to this unit, but it also affects the other unit I have. And so we were kind of looking at that. And that was, it wasn't a problem. It's just something new for us. So we were looking into it. Mizzy, what'd you think about all of that?
I'm okay with it. You got some shenanigans from it. So you know me, I'm all about the shenanigans stuff.
Yeah, and that's what we were, you know, we were looking at it. We were like, oh, this is cool. Oh, this is cool. This is a neat ability. This is going to be some. Oh, they get to force jump after. Yeah, okay. This is going to have some good, fun move around shenanigans.
Well, you know, it's like deployment even. Pawns has an ability to where you can place another supporting unit 2 inches instead of the normal one. Or range two.
Yeah, range two.
Range two. You gotta think of the sticks.
It wasn't pawns, it was the unit though, right?
It was
the unit.
I have cheat cards, so I am looking. So pawns has the ability forward scout. So when deploying a squad that includes this unit, allied clone trooper secondary characters and allied clone trooper supporting characters may be placed within 2 of the first place character from that squad's primary unit instead of the normal 1. So,
I mean, which we were like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Shenanigans right off the bat. Deployment. Yeah. Boom.
Which, I mean, so, I mean, the game's pretty fairly simple and forward on what you do and how you do it. The cards, with a caveat that we did during play, we did have to, you know, we did take our time and go, okay, does this work the way it is? Does this work that way?
Is this how this is intended?
Correct. Does Mizzy get her face stomped in on by shooting? Yeah. So,
you got your face stomped in on shooting too. Thank you. I made the struggle real for you as well. So there.
There was one instance that we're going to talk about where we were like, no, let's rewind this part right here because she didn't know and we didn't understand. And so
none of us were prepared for that.
We did have some questions while we were playing. It was like, not while we were playing, before we did that. What's the difference between a jump and a climb? And so we had to look, we looked that up just to make sure. And then, we were looking at ingress points because we had some very high elevations. We had a lot of extra terrain and we 3D printed a lot. And we had stuff left over. But we had a lot of scattered terrain and a lot of, extra bridges. And so we're like, well, this ingress point goes all the way to the top. And we made a suggestion that you could stop off midpoint and get in. You didn't have to go to the very top. You could get off in the middle, which we thought was okay. And I looked around and some people said that's really up between the players. So we did it. So the one thing I noticed is I put together Vader and the Inquisitors, and these are newer sets. And then I put together some of the core box stuff. They are different plastics. The plastic I noticed in the core box was a little bit more rigid. And the stuff in the newer stuff is a little bit more flexibility. So you haven't put together any of the core stuff yet, but you'll see that there is a little bit of difference. Also the core box models are very, have a ton of parts. The droids I'm not going to put together. They are just way too big, way too many parts. I'm just most likely not going to put them together.
All the fiddly bits.
Way too many fiddly bits. I don't think I'm ever going to play with them, so I'm not too worried about it.
They're not worth the hassle.
Yeah, that's fair. They're not Sith. And then putting them off and cutting off the sprues, the sabers are so thin that it's you got to be super, super careful. That you don't snap one off. I know that some people have said that they have their demo set, and the demo set, the lightsabers on those characters have been broken so many times. They're very, very fragile.
Yeah. Even playing with them and like painting, and like you can tell how delicate they are.
Yeah. The models look nice. There's nothing wrong with them.
They have not at all.
Good action poses. Good expressions, good detail on them. I was definitely going to paint all of mine black and red because I was going for a theme because they're all Sith. And they all had red sabers, and my stormtroopers were going to be painted black. The cloth on them was going to be a gray. But I gloss coated every bit of armor on them, so my entire stormtrooper unit is completely gloss coated armor, and certain parts of the Sith pieces are painted, are gloss coated, and it turned out really well. It turned out really neat looking, type stuff. But we got ready. We talked about some of the rules and how things happen and got ready for it. And so we just
watched a lot of YouTube.
Yeah. We did watch a lot of YouTube channels on how to play, which there's some pretty good ones out there, that are not just a bunch of junk, but definitely get right to the point and go, this is how this works. Cool. Thanks. That's all I needed to know. Type stuff. And so instead of recording it, we took pictures. So if you're listening to this, you're not watching the YouTube video. You'll have to just go with what we tell you. Hopefully this will be posted. You can see it on YouTube and watch the stuff, but let's go ahead and let's get into the slide. So our first few slides are our battlefield. Anything that's printed in black is the stuff I 3D printed to add to the battlefield. I printed off new ladders with attaching hooks so it would hook onto the side. I printed off an Imperial bunker, some rocks, some debris, some more boxes. And we really kind of, I think we packed more terrain on this than, you know, a lot of people see. Because we did do up to a third story. I'm going to switch it. Oh, that's not it. I'll go back. Oh, yeah. Go back to the very beginning. There we go. But we kind of packed it in because we were like, hey, line of sight's going to be a problem, blah, blah, blah. Getting cover and making sure that it's there. The terrain that comes with the box set is very nice terrain. The plastic's very nice. It's easy to put together. No problems. It all dry fits great. Doesn't take long to put together. You can either use plastic glue or super glue. I use super glue just so I can get it done quicker. And then we did our first setup. We set up the mission, and we were doing the mission from the core box. If you can see, this is Mizzy's side, where she had Mace and Pawns, and then Mason, was it the ARF troops and Mace, or was it?
ARF troops, so Mace, Commander Pawns, ARF troopers, and then Plo Koon, Wolf Pack, and Commander Wolf.
Gotcha. And she was already into the shenanigans, because she was already way up forward with them.
Yeah,
it was. My side, I did the same thing. We just kind of did a basic setup, put, you know, the leader out there, and then put everybody up there, and got ready. And one of my objectives was right next to me. And we tried to do everything the way it was proper, so you wouldn't get you wouldn't know what the objectives were until, you know, you laid over the first card. That's kind of an aerial view of how the battlefield was. I'm going to be working on painting this soon. And so we started playing and started moving around, and our first battle picture that we actually started taking picture of is Vader going after Mace Windu. Vader's a dick. This is Vader, the Emperor's servant. He's a jerk. I mean, this model is powerful, beyond belief powerful.
He won't stop.
Yeah. One thing that we notice is when I first attacked Mace Windu, I didn't wound him. And Vader was the last card in my deck. And so he had to go again. And the next time, let's see, don't have the next one, but it'll come up. And Mace and Vader just duked it out for a bit. This was a scene where Mizzy actually got control of this first, and I had to run over there to stop her. Because it was just coming an issue. And of course the character I had there, was one that was able to, help out. And this was a pretty decent long battle. We kind of beat each other up quite a bit with the ARC troopers and such.
I shot you in the face.
Shooting people in the face. cause I used the fourth sister and, the Inquisitor mandate where I can, you know, I win ties. Was really important in this fight after a while.
Yeah.
It became really, really prevalent because I didn't actually get the Inquisitor over there maybe a round or two that you got some scoring on in it.
At least two or three rounds.
Yeah, I just couldn't get him over there. But she only got there really quickly because you actually wounded her and she got to, you know, reposition after you shot her, and she was like, okay, I'm coming up now.
Yep.
This is something I really like about this game is that movement shenanigans are all through this. And the thing is you have to shoot or do things to people because it will, you know, it'll make other abilities happen.
Yeah, it's not just about getting to the objective and staying there. Like, you have to do other things.
Yeah, and the thing is things that you do will trigger other things, which makes it kind of cool. Like wounding her. You wound her, she goes fast. Let's see, what was the next one? Oh, yeah, this is where the standoff between our troopers and your troopers, where we were just contesting and, you know, just shooting at each other until nothing happens. And all we did was, I mean, we were just learning the game, so we didn't care, you know, too much about winning and losing. We were, you know, testing out the rules and see what would happen. And shooting can be pretty good, and it's best to make sure that, you know, we shoot. You use your max distance unless you're trying to contest. This was a shot when my sergeant got up to the top, and this is where, I don't want to say Mizzy made a mistake, but learned that Kuploon shouldn't have sat there the whole game.
I agree. I didn't do terrible. It was our first time.
But that was something that you want to hold objectives, and you want to secure them so you can score the points, but Kuploon could have been out there in the field doing work while the ARC troopers or the wolf pack could have stood up there and just shot people.
Yeah.
Type thing. Which wasn't, it was, like I said, it's an all learning curve, so it's not a big deal. But that was like, your troopers should have been up there holding that objective while Kuploon runs around smashing people in the face.
Yes.
And this is where I learned, because my Sith was down here holding this objective when I should have had her out there running around like a crazy person, slicing people up, and claiming objectives, and just taking out as many people as possible. But that actually came to my benefit, because I won the first struggle, and the second struggle, of course, Captain Mizzy got to choose stuff, and it worked out really good in her favor. And here comes Wolf coming in to try to help out. This battle lasted a long time, and it was just going back and forth.
Yeah, the first struggle took a very long time.
Yeah, and we were also learning. We noticed that, you know, that it could be the first struggle takes a little bit longer to get going and moving. But we were adding our tokens and adding the, you know, momentum tokens on there when appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
There's another action scene of Kuploon just sitting there.
Just hanging out.
Hanging out, hunkering down.
Doing his thing.
Yeah. And here is the really good scene where Vader shoves Mace Windu off of the second tier down to the ground, and then he climbs up to the top.
Big rude, Gonzo. Big rude.
Yeah. Which is actually kind of neat and kind of fun.
Yes.
Very cinematic feeling type thing. We're not sure if we did all this right. And like I said, guys, we're newbies. We don't know if we did 100% of the rules right type thing, but we were doing it.
We played a game and had fun. What?
Yeah. Here is another shot of the full battle. Up at the very top, my sergeant was coming in to Kuploon to try to shoot him and try to help contest that one, because she was just raking up points on that one. Don't know if we've got another one of those. And eventually, like I said, the fight in that one area right there was completely contested a lot, or fought over. It was like our main battlefield.
Yeah.
Pawns just stayed in the back and just shot people as much as he could. Another shot of the stormtroopers and the clone troopers. And this is a scene that we actually rewound. What happened is Mace was not actually there. And this was actually the second struggle. And Mizzy had to come in with her troopers to try to take this. And so she was just booking, hauling butt over there. But as she was on the way, she decided to shoot at my Sith Inquisitor, which is this the fourth sister?
It's the one with deflect.
Yeah, which is the four, No, the it is the third sister.
Third sister, yeah.
Yeah, and they have deflect, and she has deflect.
So, third sister will destroy you with deflect if you are not careful. If you fuck around, you will find out.
Because she shot, and then shot again, and, you know...
Did some more shooting, and I almost killed myself. No, I did kill myself.
You did,
and then
you
we
did
were,
wound yourself.
And then we were like, wait a minute, no, let's not do that.
Yeah, and so we did a quick rewind, because she didn't know, but that's okay, it's not a big deal. And she goes, I'm just not going to shoot at all, I'm just going to move over there and hold it. And that was one of the things we looked, because deflect is a reaction ability?
Yes.
And in the book it says all reaction abilities require a force cost, but unless it doesn't have a force cost in it. So we were like, okay. So to me it should have said, if an ability has a force cost, you pay the force cost.
Language.
So it was kind of verbiage. It was kind of interesting there. No big deal.
Yeah.
But we rewound it because I actually technically wounded her on her turn.
Yeah.
It was no bueno.
That was not a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, because you all you have to do is miss once and you take, you know, 2 damage.
Yep.
But eventually, going back to that, they eventually all came in, and then Mace came in and was trying to beat her up type thing. And it became a good fight scene there. Eventually, that little spot that we were fighting over became the primary objective for the skirmish round 2. And you were able to... I was able to push or shove.
Yeah. Shove.
People out of the way. So I could claim it one round, and then the next round... The next card, you were able to shove me away from it with whatever happened. And you then took charge of it. And claiming a objective that is a primary one is, you know, getting 2 points is a big hit in this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what was it? Wolf came in and saved the day.
Yeah.
And this is also where we learned that you do not have to use the movement tracker around the terrain. You can go over gaps.
You can defy physics.
Yes. That's where
physics,
we started learning.
No physics.
Even
it's
more
fine.
Movement shenanigans. That if the track, if the movement template reaches over, you just move over. Which is okay. It's not that big of a deal. It's just we were like, hey, you're supposed to, you know, X, Y, Z. It's learning the new, you know, how the things happen. And then Vader... on the second struggle, that objective became inactive. So Vader decided he was going to go take this objective. And, that didn't go good for him. But no. This is also the time where I had to draw Vader 3 times in a row because he didn't wound anybody until the 3rd time. Which is...
That was some shenanigans.
Yeah. Learning that it was a really weird thing. It could be good for you and it could be bad for you. Because if you need to move off and do something else, it's a pain, but Vader can go on a rampage and just start crushing people.
I remember at one point he did 10 points of damage to Mace and he has 11.
Yeah.
So one attack almost killed. Or wounded. Yeah, wounded.
Yeah.
Mace.
And then this was an aerial view of what the scene looked like near the end of the game on the 3rd struggle. An aerial view of the 3rd struggle. Because I won the first one, Mizzy won the second one, and we were just running around trying to claim everything and, you know, get those last bit of points. And the... second and third struggle. The second struggle was pretty long. The third struggle was pretty short.
Yeah, it was super quick.
Because
but
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that even though it went super quick, I did get to use one of Mace's abilities called This Party's Over, which is really fun because you get steadfast and protection if Mace is engaged, but it's the other characters that are within 5 that get the steadfast and protection. So that was really fun.
Yeah, this is I think this is near the end of it, because one of the third struggle, because I got to choose it, and of course I choose things that are on my area, and was able to sit and just crank in the points super quick. A little bit more shots of our battlefield. The end of the turn, we took some more pictures just because where everything landed and finished. And then it was over. Go back to our... so we can see our pretty faces. As we were playing it, we did check rules, check on things, look at it. And we had to learn all the... what the icons mean. That took a little bit for us to do. Not a hard thing, not a bad thing. It's just learning new things. We definitely, after we got done talking and looking at it and deciding on stuff and everything, I'm changing up my list a little bit. I love my Sith Inquisitors. I love Vader, even with his, you know, his problem that he can have if he's drawn last and hasn't wounded anybody. Or he's being drawn and hasn't wounded anybody, period. I like the Sith Inquisitors. I think I'm going to be taking the Fifth Brother, because while I knew this was an objective-style game, the Fifth, the Fourth Brother, I think is what he is, his ability to shove people away from stuff is really, really powerful in this, in my opinion. He's got a little bit more health, but his abilities just seem to fit my playstyle. He's a big juggernaut. Type thing. I liked Vader. The stormtroopers are fine. I didn't have any issues with them. They can shoot and, you know, run around and get bonuses and such. If they ever make a 3-point Padawan or a 3-point Sith Padawan or some type of 3-point evil, you know, Sith, I will definitely put them in and put in all the sisters and just make it a complete Sith Inquisitor army. But we haven't seen that. It's not slated yet, so maybe AMG, if you're listening, or anybody, please make a 3-point Sith model so I can play all Sith Inquisitor lightsabers. It's my jam. It's the way I play. Captain Mizzy talked about her stuff, and what did you decide on what you want to do?
I think I've decided that as much as I love Mace as a model, as a character, as an everything, and he has purple lightsaber because y'all know how I am about purple, that I am probably going to trade him out for Ahsoka from the starter, because she's got some high-quality shenanigans with her movement.
Very much so.
And then, of course, throw in some Mandalorians, and yeah, see how that works out for me. But I will keep Plue. He's got some really good abilities. That I'm all about it.
Yeah, I think you were also wanted to put in the 501st because you wanted to try them out.
Yeah, the 501st and maybe Captain Rex. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I think because we were talking about it, and this game really is about, while people can hit hard, this really is about run and gun. Get there, hold that spot.
Yep.
Ahsoka can do that like nobody's business.
Which, actually, the Wolf Pack and Commander Wolf have an ability called Run and Gun, which came in quite handy.
It did. but after sitting back and looking at it, we were like, okay, while there is combat and you do beat each other up and everything, once a struggle flips through the round two, you get your ass there. That's just plain and simple.
You got to move, and you got to move now.
Yeah. Especially if your opponent is, you know, your opponent's choosing the location and you're not in that area, you've got to book it and haul it, because the quicker you can score points, the quicker you can hold points, the quicker you move that struggle tracker over, the better. But I like my Sith Inquisitors. They move pretty fast. They hit hard. They have good defense. They have some movement shenanigans. Vader's a complete jerk. 100%. I mean, he hits like a brick.
As we expected.
Yeah, and he should be.
Yeah.
He should be hitting hard. He should be doing stuff. I mean, you know, I used every single one of his abilities this game. The automatic abilities happening in the game when you draw that card as I think what makes this game very unique and very fun. I played MCP. I played Armada. I played X-Wing. I've played Legion. And this is my favorite game that they've made. Legion was just okay for me. MCP, I couldn't get into it that much, even though I'm a huge, Marvel fan. Just not my cup of tea. But this I got into.
Yeah.
I was able to get into this one a whole lot easier. I enjoy that it's only 8 models. As Captain Mizzy's shaking her head.
The least I have, words are hard. The least amount of models that I have to keep up with, the better.
Yeah. There's a lot of combos with this game. Not only on your turn, but on your opponent's turn that you have to be. So, sticking to like 2 squads is really going to help you out. Mm-hmm. Find something you like, find something you do, find something that's interesting and just go for it. I was very pleasantly surprised when I did the demo at Adepticon last year, I think is what it was. I was not impressed. And I think it's because I wasn't allowed to do anything. We just had to see how the dice mechanic worked. The combat skill tree is cool and fun. It lets you do whatever you need to. Like, I need to shove these people away from here and put them on the bottom floor. I'm going to shove you. I'm going to do less damage, but I'm going to shove you off so I can claim this objective and win the game.
Yep.
Type stuff. One thing we didn't know is that if you get an additional status of the same type, it's another damage. That was something we didn't. We read through the book and everything. It just never clicked.
Instructions unclear, but after a quick Google search, after the fact, we figured it out.
And then I know that some videos that we've watched, people would do the wrap of the damage. They would get to the end, and if it got to the end, they would go back to the beginning again and then keep going until they got all their dice on there. Found out that that wasn't something true, and we figured that out before we started playing because I didn't think that was possible. But that was okay. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
What else? What are your opinions, Mizzy?
I'm not mad at it. I was pleasantly surprised that I actually enjoyed it. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan. Like, I do enjoy it. It's just I'm more of a Trekkie. But I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I got to shoot things. I got to cause some shenanigans. And I won a struggle. And I made struggle real for you. So I had a good time with it.
Yeah, I think... this gets the seal of approval from us. If you're on a budget, just buy 2 forces and you can work from there. You can make your own terrain. There's plenty of 3D printing you can do for that. $165 is a lot of money to spend on stuff that you might not use. While that terrain is great, the things that you really need, and if you're just playing with your friends in the basement, don't care. If you plan on going to convention, whole different story because you got to abide by those rules. But if it's just you and your buddies, just buy 2 squads and go for it. Buy the dice. You have to buy the dice and the measuring sticks, which is fine. No big deal. But buy 2 squads and buy the 2 squads you want. By the dice, by the measuring sticks, and you're good to go, technically. Because something I noticed, in the box, you get the alternate language for all the other languages this game is printed for. And you could just use, if you technically wanted to, you could use that language card as your Shatterpoint card. So you're looking at $70 to play the game, minus the dice and widgets, which they're range from like $14 a piece. But if you technically only need 1 set, so you could share that with your buddies. But if and like I said, if a lot of people on eBay are breaking the boxes out because it's hard to sell, that's something I did notice, that a lot of people are breaking the boxes apart and selling individual stuff. Like, here's Ahsoka, here's the terrain, here's you know, here's, you know, the Mandalorians type thing, and just breaking it out on eBay, which is good and bad. Some people just want certain things, and some people don't need all the other stuff. Some people don't want the extra terrain. I don't want the terrain. I don't know why. The terrain is really good. It's a good set of terrain.
Some people need the terrain.
Yeah, because some people don't have 3D printing or, you know, a way to get more terrain. We did use, I think we used a lot more terrain than we were expecting. But we wanted a good action, you know, area. We had two core sets and then a bunch of stuff I 3D printed, which there was nothing wrong with the stuff I 3D printed. We did make it a 3-tier high, which we did have a little bit of problem moving our miniatures around after a bit because it was, you know, getting our fingers into tight spots. And I think when we play another game, we'll probably only do 2 tiers, or like if our third tier is, it's got to be away from a lot of different things. So mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to, you know, manipulate the miniatures. But if you want to get the core box, I highly suggest going to Amazon and buying it there. Like I said, this is $95. And if you have, you know, a Prime account, it's free shipping. So it comes to like $100, depending on what your tax is in your area. And that's a no-brainer in my opinion. The miniatures, all the terrain. And then, you know, if you can 3D print more, 3D print more. If you don't, go to eBay and buy another set of terrain. There's plenty of people selling it. And like, they're like, you know, best offer type thing, so you can probably get it pretty cheap. It would be kind of cool if they had more terrain that was like the core box terrain, or a way to buy, you know, that separately type stuff, because all they have is the expansion terrain, and that's not a lot in there. But I don't know, it's their business, they can do what they want. So we got to give it a rating. And we don't have to give it a scale rating. More of, do you think you'll play this game again, Mizzy?
Casually, yes.
Yeah?
Just kind of like, well, like with you, or, you know, if somebody locals wants to get into it and they just want to do a casual game, then sure, yeah.
Yeah, I would do this casually. I don't know if I would do it as a tournament setting. Like a premiere event, because a premiere event, you have to have 4 squads. I just don't want to buy all of that. Although I do have the ones for the core box, and I could just say, here's my 4, but I'm going to play my Sith Inquisitors. I don't know how the rules work, but, you know, that type of thing. If it was just, I could see doing like a team thing, maybe.
Maybe.
Like, or, you know, a casual fun tournament, best way to put it.
You mean like a narrative event?
Like a narrative event? But I definitely would not, I would not go as a huge tournament player. I enjoy the game for its fun, silly, shenanigan movement, hitting stuff.
I get to make pew-pews.
Yep. and that's really what it is, what it comes down to. We do give it a seal of approval. I think it's the best game that Atomic Mass has made. And is currently working on. Don't know what they're going to work on next. If you're working on a new one thing, let us know. We don't mind. It'd be awesome to kind of preview that and see what it is. There are some other miniatures coming out. I know that, you know, they've got the actual Mandalorians coming and other things, sets. I don't know if I'll buy them. And we only started this because Adepticon, you know, swag bag. We got a starter set, and so I was like, okay, we can try it out. I don't have to waste too much money, even though we did eventually. We didn't waste. We bought what we needed, and then got the fun out of it.
You know, it's like every other game that we play. The nerd crack calls to us.
Yeah, it does. it was a lot of fun. I liked the shenanigans of it. I liked the movement of it. Getting used to it, still learning some of the rules, and still learning all of our cards. I'd play it again a couple of times.
It does feel like an easy game to learn, though. Yeah, so it's not too overly complicated. Like, yeah, there's some things that you have to learn, but it's not terrible.
No, I think the easiest thing is learning the basics. Mm-hmm. The movement, the shooting, because the dice mechanics are super easy. I cancel out yours, you cancel out mine type thing. That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
You know, the specialties, once you figure that out and you know, you're like, okay, cancels out. I have 3 successes less. Check my chart. I think the easy to learn, hard to master technique comes into this, where the hard to master is learning all the shenanigans and figuring out all the combos that not only you do, but your opponent does, and combos that happen on your opponent's turn.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do on, you know, models that you're in. Alternating activations is great.
Yes. You're always playing something. It's really nice.
Yeah.
You're not just standing there bored.
Correct. If anybody brings out a game nowadays and they don't do alternating activations, I don't think it succeeds very well, in my opinion. It's going to be a pain. I don't like, you know, waiting 30, 40 minutes to do my turn.
Mm-hmm.
You're actively engaged in this game, which is great. You're actively engaged on your opponent's turn and your own turn, which is good. You're not just waiting for things to happen. You're affecting things that are happening. So, Mizzy, any parting words?
If you want to try it, do it.
Go down to your local game store. I'm sure most local game stores have this. Go and test it out. Find out if it's something that you like.
Find a local.
Yeah, find locals. If you don't, I'm sure there's a page that you can help find locals. And if it's something I've seen that you like, go try it out. We recommend it. It was a lot of fun. Good job, AMG. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, we're going to get out of here, listen to the cool music, and we will see you on the podcast
next time.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to More Than Dice, making the world a better, nerdier place, one dumb joke at a time. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. For more nerdy action or to connect with your hosts, check them out on facebook.com/morethandice and twitch.tv/more_than_dice. Until next time, stay nerdy, stay proud, and we'll see you soon on the More Than Dice podcast.